welcome, Cynthia. Thank you for taking time to be on my new podcast, The Power 15, Care of Shakespeare in Detroit, with people who have influenced, mentored, and supported my life and career in some capacity to help make Shakespeare in Detroit sustain over the years. So thank you for that. Of course, I consider you a mentor. Cynthia and I met at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, which was probably the best professional experience I've ever had outside of creating my own theater, of course. But it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. She's now the managing director at Hartford Stage, and I'm lucky to have her on for the next few minutes as I hope to inspire some hope. And as always, I'm inspired by Cynthia. So thanks everybody who is tuning into this, and thank you, Cynthia. So my first question to you is, what are you hopeful for in regards to the theater post-COVID-19? What do you think the future of theater actually looks like once we get over this hump? And what advice might you have for an executive director like me at a smaller organization after this is over?
Well, one of the things that keeps me kind of grounded is remembering what an ancient tradition and art form theater actually is, right? It's nothing that's going away, because it's been here literally for thousands of years. My first year at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, we took a donor trip to Turkey and Greece. And I still remember standing at the top of a 10,000 seat outdoor amphitheater that I realized people had sat in literally thousands of years ago. And I think that gives, we're all missing the theater so much because we haven't been able to be gather for 8 weeks. But when I put things in the perspective of time, I think, oh yeah, we're going to be back. We're going to be back. And it's going to be really interesting to see the kinds of stories and the way they're being told and who's welcomed into telling them and hearing them when we get through this. So that gives me a lot of hope.
Well, I feel lucky because I have mentors to help me navigate things like this, like having a crisis like COVID-19, I feel hopeful because I feel so supported by people like you. But my question is, who are your mentors? Who've been your mentors throughout your career? And what was the best advice that they've given to you that motivates you or has kept you grounded during uncertain or difficult times like this one?
Well, I can think back and say, I didn't have a lot of mentors. There was no one who would have officially called themselves that, or that I would have called them that, because it wasn't nearly as, I think, appreciated or even stated like early in my career. And I think I maybe wasn't always as smart about seeking out mentors, because I know that you would call me your mentor is such a compliment to me, and I feel so supported and affirmed by somebody as talented who's taught me every bit as much, if not more, than I've taught or shared with you, that's a really lovely experience. I have had some people. I had a wonderful boss, Jan Pressler. I spent about 6 years where I say I was living someone else's life, but really I wasn't. I was just doing something completely different outside of the arts, and I learned so much. And it was all because she just believed in me, and she needed somebody. And at the time, you know, I thought she was so much older than me. She was probably all of 35 or something. And she really gave me opportunities to do things that I would never have thought of doing myself. And she also opened up. I said to her when I was working for her, the second time I worked for her, I went to her and said, I hadn't been doing a lot of financial work. And I said, I really think that I should sit in on all the budget meetings, which just sounds terrible. Like, who wants to do that? But it really was one of the smartest things I ever did, because I learned something that wasn't really straight in my wheelhouse and has served me. I would never have this job. I would never have worked at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival if I hadn't done that. And if she hadn't said, oh yeah, that's a great professional development opportunity for you, and it will serve me as your supervisor to know that somebody's in all those meetings at a really detailed level. So I really think of her, and I owe her a lot.
Well, that's awesome, Cynthia. You know, I take pride in stewarding a village of mentors, because I think it takes a village. But I think this question I love, because I think a lot of mentees don't know how to be a mentee. And so my next question is, what qualities do you think make a great mentee? And being a mentor is a bit of a commitment. So what can a mentee do to ensure that they build a relationship with their mentor?
Well, I think actually the opportunity we had where we had an actual official fellowship, right? Like it was something that existed. Those kind of systemic things are really important. Right? Because we all have so many priorities. So first, good on the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and Paul Nicholson, right, for that setting up that kind of formal relationship, because we both walked in, I think, with a sense of responsibility to each other and to the institution. But very quickly, it becomes a very personal relationship, and it becomes great mentees are really want to learn and are very curious and are very interested in their mentor's work. And because when you feel that, you feel like, oh, I have something to share. At the same time, a mentee knows how to read the signs of like, my mentor is too busy. Like that sort of thing of like stepping in and knowing you can step in, and also knowing when, oh, I gotta step back a little bit and maybe just observe for a little while because things are too crazy or too busy or too intense. And I can debrief maybe afterwards with my mentor about something I just saw. So that ability to know when to insert yourself and when to step back, and genuine curiosity about both the person and their work, that combination really makes for a great mentee.
That's really good. Yeah, I take pride. I should say this. I'm really good at keeping in touch too.
That's another one. That's what makes the relationship last.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The people I know that I think of as people I've mentored who are really good about just sending a little note or checking in, telling me something they're up to. I got a call from another mutual friend of ours who she just called to tell me about something exciting that had happened. And it was I felt so great. Like I was so excited to know that for her. And it makes me know that these are, in these cases with you and with a few others, they're lifetime now friendships. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing.
It is. And, you know, some people though aren't as lucky as I have been to have official kind of mentoring opportunities like the Paul Nicholson Arts Management Fellowship at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. So my question is, if you're someone who aspires for a leadership role in an organization, but you don't necessarily have a fellowship like I had, or you don't necessarily have a ton of experience, where can you start?
Well, I think back to that story I told about how I went to my boss and I just said, here's something I'm not very good at yet. I'd like to be better at it. Can you look for opportunities for me? You may try that a few times and get a kind of cold shoulder or no, like I'm just too busy to think about it. But I would say, don't be deterred by that. Try again or try with a different person, because leadership opportunities can come your way and they may not be the one you wanted, right? Or the one you had envisioned for yourself. So one, be sure you ask, like actually ask for it. But then also be on the lookout for the thing that you should just step up and do, because it's a little cliche, you don't actually need a title to be a leader. There are people in every organization I've ever worked at that they just take the reins, or they take the influence, the opportunity to influence something. So to look for that, you can also do it outside of your work world. You may be in a work world that is really not hospitable at a certain point in your career. So find somewhere else to do it. You know, look for leadership opportunities as a volunteer or in partnership with someone. I can think of times where somebody and I have co-chaired something together or that kind of thing, where it gives you a little strength, right, to know that you're doing it with somebody. And that's really helped. That's a really good route.
Yeah, and speaking of kind of good, positive routes, these days things are a little different, like we talked about at the top of this this powerful 15 minutes. Where are you finding joy and happiness right now, like today? You're obviously at home.
Yes.
Finding joy and happiness today.
Well, you know, maybe it's appropriate because it's Mother's Day coming up this weekend. I have a 22-year-old daughter who was in college and is now staying with us. She had to leave her dorm, of course, like many people. That's nothing you ever dream of for your 22-year-old daughter, and she certainly didn't dream of it. But I can say that the opportunity to be at home with one of my children right now is actually really special. And it's one of the ways I'm coping right now, because I do get to stop working at a certain point in the day and then just rewatch Downton Abbey with my daughter, or have dinner with my husband and my daughter. And, you know, that hasn't happened in 6 years or 5 years, however many years it's been. And so that's been great. I'm also taking a lot of solace or rejuvenation. Like, I have a phone call with one of my dearest friends in Kansas City tomorrow. Those kind of connections and keeping connected. And I'm finding that people are really receptive to it. A group of us from college did a Zoom call. We haven't all been in the same room together since college. And suddenly there were all these faces of people that I met when I was 18 years old. And somehow we're still connected, some of whom I talk to all the time, and some of whom I haven't talked to in literally decades. If you haven't done something like that, I would say do it. It is so terrific. It just, it's the best part of getting older, right? You start realizing, I've known this person for decades.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a lovely thing.
Well, speaking of joy and happiness, you brought me that today by being on my podcast.
I love being on your podcast. I've never been on a Zoom podcast before.
Yeah, well, thank you. And speaking of connecting, yeah, this totally made my day. So that's the 15 minutes. That's
excellent.
The Power 15. And thank you again, Cynthia, for being such a great mentor. And I'll connect with you again offline.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia.
All right.
Bye-bye now.